I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the first team, Joe DeLeon, Ryan Roberts. Today we're doing another scouting report episode, and we are going to be breaking down two of the top interior offensive linemen in the 2025 NFL draft. We're doing our summer scouting series right now. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of the other breakdowns that we are doing. Today we're talking Tyler Booker from Alabama and from Arizona. We are talking, oh my God, I'm blanking. I'm already forgetting his first name. Jonah Savanea from Arizona. This is how much I don't want to talk about him. So Ryan coaxed me into, I'm a big Tate Ratledge fan. I was so excited. I had all my notes ready to go for Tate Ratledge. I had to, very unwillingly pull up my notes on Savanea. But here we are. We're talking about him. We're going to get to it. I'm gonna power through because I'm a good, nice co-host. I'm a good friend of Ryan. Tyler Booker, though.
Dude, Ryan, you're an idiot. You're an actual
shut
idiot.
Up, like, shut up. Shut up. Tyler Booker, 6'5", 352, was a very highly recruited kid coming into Alabama, stuck around for the coaching change. What quick background can you give us on him before we get into breaking him down?
Do you know where he's originally from? You're going to love this, dude. You're going to love this. So he's from West Haven, Connecticut. Okay. But
he's an IMG playing. Kid.
Well, so here's the background. Yeah. Okay. You wanted the background. Okay. New Haven, Connecticut kid originally played in high school at first. His family moved down to Bergen Catholic and play. He was a Bergen Catholic kid originally.
IMG ended up stealing all these damn good New Jersey kids. They need to stop.
I mean, they do it every single year and they steal them from everywhere, absolutely everywhere. But he's a Bergen Catholic kid. Goes down to Bradenton, IMG Academy player. Do you know his final year of, actually, sorry. So he was a junior. He had a senior offensive tackle on the other side of him. That's name happened to be JC Latham. I don't know if you've heard of him. So as a junior, they had him at right tackle and they had JC Latham at left tackle, just for like some context, which is pretty wild to think about. Kind of just the bookends there. Like you said, huge recruit. He was a 5-star by On3 and a 5-star by ESPN. ESPN having him ranked as number 11 overall player in the country coming out in the 2022 recruiting class. And On3 wasn't far behind. They had him ranked as a 5-star and the number 14 overall player in the class. 3 out of 4 of the major platforms had him as a top 100 overall player, a top 60 overall player. And then Rivals was, they're the caboose here, man. Only number 111 in the country in the 2022 class, according to Rivals.
But, yeah, that was. Wait, one I can't that was say anything negative about Rivals. Oops.
I actually kind of like Rivals, to be honest, as far as like the major platforms. But that's another conversation for another day. So he was a very highly recruited kid. He had offers from everywhere, Joseph. Absolutely everywhere. Started as a true freshman All-American. That was all SEC as a second year player. I got a cool little background as far as the weights that we'll kind of talk about, I guess, but it's yeah, man. He's a 5-star kid that went to Alabama. Shocker. Absolute shocker.
Interesting that you bring up that he was teammates with JC Latham, because there's some similarities in just the profile, like the build. And I'm talking about the thing that I love with right tackles and with guards, guys with big asses. Say it with me, Ryan. Big asses. That's what we're looking for when we're looking for any interior offensive lineman, and especially at right tackle. And this is why I like JC Latham, because you got a big butt. That means you're able to generate a lot of power. It means that you got big quads. You got big glutes. You got all the power where it needs to be, which is coming from the lower half. And he plays like it. He's mobile. He's flexible. He does a really good job of getting to the second level. A lot of inconsistencies with his angles and when he's trying to get where he needs to be, and he could be a little bit more, he could really drive guys out a little bit more if he was getting into those right spots a little bit better. But God, man, he is so fun to watch move. And I posted a couple weeks ago, Ryan, I posted him in pass pro a couple reps, the Alabama fans loved my just quick summation of him. I could sit and watch him in pass pro all day, because he glides, man. He is a glider. He's just he slides back and forth. He keeps dudes in front of him. He's not one of those players that's going to lose his base whatsoever. Now, does his hand placement need to be worked? Does the refinement need to happen here? Absolutely. He's a second-year guy, and he's a young player. But, God, man, there's a lot to love with this player, and he could really, really turn out to be a big riser as this class continues on.
So I'm not going to go goo-goo gaga over his butt like you just did a couple minutes ago.
You just don't get it.
But, no, I do get it. He's a powerfully built, dense football player. He's a mountain, dude. Like, I mean, and it's crazy because I guess we should get used to this because we've had J.C. Latham play early for Alabama, who was massive. We had Evan Neal, who's massive, and we had Kaden Proctor last year as a true freshman, who's also massive. So I think even if we go back to like the DJ Fluker days, right? Like we've always had just a massive offensive lineman at Alabama who kind of takes you off guard because you would expect seeing a bigger body to this degree. You would expect Tyler Booker to be a slug as far as an athlete, yeah. But he's not, man. He can move. Like he has got really good overall quickness out of his stance. He's very strong. I mean, outrageously strong. I joked about this. I think I texted you this, Joe, but I know a lot of people have gone, you know, insane over Walter Nolan hype this offseason with him transferring to Ole Miss. Dude, there's rumors that Walter Nolan has to call him daddy in public, dude. Like, yeah, that was an absolute mismatch. Tyler Booker destroyed Walter Nolan, dude. Like, it wasn't even a game, and Walter Nolan's a former five-star player in his own right. That began his career, obviously, down at Texas A&M. So this is a physically imposing, dominant at times run blocker who, you're absolutely correct. The one thing I love about him in pass pro is he's uncovered a lot, but he's always looking for work. Like he's one of those dudes that just he kind of really forcefully finds contact throughout reps, which I think is great. I do think he gets a little over-aggressive at times, can lunge a little bit, but I don't think it's lunging because he's not flexible. I just think that he just kind of gets a little overzealous at times as a blocker at times. But that's also one of the biggest strengths that you love, right, is that the aggressiveness, the aggressive nature that he has. And I do think that there was a push this offseason, a cool little training note here, because he's listed still at 352 pounds. I was told by a good source that he's down to about 338 pounds this offseason. So he's cut a little bit of weight, which I think is going to be really good for him because I thought the flexibility was good. But if he takes a step forward as well, there's really not a hole in this kid's game. Like this is a high level guard potential on the next level. It's just going to be about refining the finer points of playing the offensive guard position.
Yeah, the weight is promising. I'm always a tiny bit wary. You know, actually, I'm going to bring this up. I mean, like, why did he need to lose 20 pounds? Because I didn't think he was, like, super immobile. I kind of like the way that he weighed that much.
I think it's the flexibility part of it. I just think that he's a player that wanted to be a little bit better redirecting in space at times, right? Because that was one thing that I thought, again, I thought it was sufficient to good, like, most of the time in pass pro as far as, like, redirecting. But it could always get better. I would ask you this. Like,
fair point.
What's the point of being 6'5", 352 pounds? Like, well, there's what you mean, 352?
What I was going to say is that I always am a little wary because 20 pounds is a lot to lose in an offseason. It is. And just it's a lot of weight to lose. And like, let's remove the football aspect of this thing. Losing 20 pounds in a six-month span, it might be less than that. They finished the season in January. It's been it's been 4 months. 20 pounds in 4 months. I trust that there's a way that they've approached it, that it was done effectively, but there's always a chance that you do lose muscle. It's harder to add power over the off season and just in the, I got to stop using the word off season in this context. It is harder to add strength when you are aiming to lose weight because you are not giving yourself, your body enough energy to push yourself in the weight room. So the only reason why it's nitpicky is just, I get a little bit cautious. Not like, oh my God, this is going to fail, but I just get a little cautious that sometimes these guys lose what makes them so good. And a guy like Tyler Booker, who's a killer, man, like he really kicks ass with how powerful he is. I think the great example, we talked about Blake Fisher this past year where he comes back, he loses this weight. You know, he's trying to make this effort to be more flexible. And not only was he only just a little bit more flexible, but he also lost a lot of power and he wasn't as strong as we're used to seeing.
But he went from 330 to 310, right? Like 310 for NFL standards is a smaller offensive lineman nowadays,
pounds,
right?
But I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
But 338 pounds is still 338 pounds, dude. We're talking about a 340 pounder. Like, that's still a massive dude, man. Like, that's not a small guy. I mean, didn't you say J.C. Latham got down to about 330, high 330s at the combine, right? I mean, so we're talking about kind of a similar trajectory there as far as weight-wise. If he went from 350 to like 315, I'd be like, bro, like, that's completely changing your game. Like, that's not your game anymore, right? But yeah, I think that 338 is still going to be plenty good enough for him. Because the one thing, Joe, I'll say this, his game against Texas A&M was superb, like a fantastic game.
Oh, but
I
will
say this, against the twitchier change of direction guys at Michigan, the interior rushers, I do think he struggled a little bit against Michigan, man. So I think just adding a little bit of cat quickness, change of direction, I think that can help him, because I think he's still going to be plenty strong at 340 pounds.
And anyone tuning into this, it's always easy for skepticism. No, sorry, skepticism is not the right word. Me just bringing up the point is going to be misperceived as doubt and me not liking him as a player. That's not what's happening here. I'm just bringing it up as part of the conversation.
Do you remember with the Kyle Hamilton conversation where you were like, I wonder if some NFL teams are going to like him on the second level?
which was a legitimate question. Which was like, no. People didn't get mad at me. Kyle Hamilton's mom got mad at me. That was what happened.
I remember she messaged me and I had to apologize to Mrs. Hamilton for my.
You should have told her tough shit. It's a conversation. I was too young then, man. I wish that made me so. I think back. That's one of those times where I think back. And now is like you can't go around defending your kids like that, man. Guess where he gets put a lot? I understand he's a safety, but guess where the Ravens use him a lot? In the box.
Don't do that, Joe. Don't do that. He's a safety, man. He's a safety.
I understand that, but his role is ambiguous. All right, sorry to get back to this. Tyler Booker.
Put Tyler Booker in the box, man. Put him in the box.
You know, we're going to put him at Mike linebacker. Could you imagine him at Mike linebacker?
Off ball guard.
He's got a new position. My grade on Tyler Booker, I have a top 50 on him. I'm very bullish on him. I take him late first, early second. And I really do think he's going to be a top 25 pick when it's all said and done. I think that there's a lot of question marks and inconsistency at tackle and at guard in this year's class. And somebody with his profile is going to rise. If J.C. Latham rose with more inconsistency on his tape, I really think that Booker's going to rise as well.
So I actually evaluated him the first couple games of the season because he was obviously a freshman All-American the year prior. And I put a top 50 at that point. And I went back when I regraded him this offseason so far. I have an early second round grade, but I anticipate the same jump that you're talking about here. I think that this kid will ultimately play himself into the first round conversation because, again, this is stupid and cliche for some people, right? But he's going to be a 3-year starter at Alabama who is 340 pounds and a really good athlete. All those things matter. He's going to be battle tested. He's going to play a ton of snaps in the SEC, Alabama 3-year starter. Like, NFL evaluators are going to love this kid, dude. They're absolutely going to love this kid. And I get it. Early second round grade because the technical aspects and a little bit of the flexibility at times still need to be ironed out and they still need to be improved upon. But if you told me Tyler Booker was a first round slam dunk pick next April, I would not be shocked in any way.
A lot of teams are going to look at him and go, I can fix him. I can get this kid right. Tyler Booker going to be an easy one to ride now. And I think that there's a good chance we'll be talking about him a ton during this process. Make sure you check out BetOnline for all of your sports betting needs. For anything that I do betting related, I go on over to betonline.ag and I use promo code BELIEVE50. BetOnline has all of the latest updated odds for the NFL and college football seasons. Anything you need, whether it's futures, live in-game betting, no matter what, your football betting needs are met at BetOnline. And again, make sure you use that promo code BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Jonah Savanea, Arizona right tackle. I guess he might be playing left tackle this upcoming year. I don't know what the expectation is for where he's moving.
It's an interesting one in general, and I think that we need to have a conversation about this, Joe, and I'll give the background after this, but he started every game as a true freshman, or at least I think most games as a true freshman, as the starting guard for them, right? So he's a starting right guard. He started at tackle for the team, but I know there was at least two or three games down the stretch where Arizona moved him back inside the guard. I watched at least
Raymond Polito's listed as the left tackle on our lads.
Is 7A listed at right tackle, or is he lifted at guard on there?
Right tackle.
Okay. Well, I'm interested to see how they use him, because our lads is obviously a great resource, but you know, things change comparative to what our lads says. But down the stretch of the season, they did play him back at right guard a lot down the stretch. So I'm interested to see full-time switch inside a guard, or if they leave him at tackle. I hope, it's just my urge and my plea to the University of Arizona and the new coaching staff, play this kid at guard. Please just play him at guard for the full year and let him flourish there. Because What?
I accidentally muted my mic. This is in Alabama, though. I don't mean to cut you off. I think a lot of times when you're on a roster that doesn't have as much premier tackle talent, the kid's got to play tackle. Like, he's just going to get called upon to play tackle.
I mean, they just had a kid that went in the first round playing left tackle for them last year. Literally.
Yeah, but that's a rarity. That's a rarity.
Well, they might have back-to-back first-round offensive linemen in back-to-back years.
Your best lineman should be playing tackle.
All right. Well, we'll have this debate in college. We're going to have this debate throughout this episode, Joe, because I think when we get to the negative side of Joe 7A, that is what leads me to why I think that he is better served inside a guard. But so he is of Samoan descent, American Samoa, okay? Went to St. Louis School, which is a very prominent high school in Hawaii, out on the islands, okay? So he was out there. He was only rated as a 3-star recruit by everyone. The highest that he was ranked was 247 Sports that had him rated as a 3-star, the number 21 interior offensive lineman. On the composite ranking, he was only rated, are you ready for this, number 600 player in the country, man. So this was not a highly rated kid by services. He obviously ends up picking Arizona, but he only had 7 offers to his name for a offensive lineman this talented, which is very interesting. Arizona, Arizona State, Hawaii, San Diego State, Syracuse, UCF, and UNLV. That was the only offers that he had at the time, which I thought was very interesting, man. I thought that there would be a little bit of a longer list, but so St. Louis, for people that don't know, some brilliant players have come out of St. Louis, Joe. I was actually looking this up, and I had this for the show. That's where Tua Tagovailoa went. That's where Tyson Alualu went. That's where the Herbigs went, both Nate and Nick Herbig. Nick obviously was the outside linebacker that was drafted out of Wisconsin a couple years ago. Marcus Mariota went to St. Louis. Olin Krutz, the former All-Pro center for the Chicago Bears, went there. Dominic Raiola, who of course is the uncle of Dylan Raiola, the 2024 quarterback that is now playing at Nebraska. Chris Fuyamatu Malafala, which is one of my greatest names of all time, man. Absolutely fantastic fullback back in the day. Not actually that good, but incredible name. So St. Louis has had some guys, man, that have gone on to play in the NFL and were very good football players. And Jonas 7A is the next in that line, it appears.
That's interesting on the background of some of those guys who play there. But to talk about him as a player, similar physical profile to what we're talking about here with Booker. He was listed at 330 pounds, 6'5", massive, massive kid, carries it really well. You know, we're not talking about a big, he's not fat. He's built. He is built like a house. He is very, very physically commanding when he's on the field. Extremely athletic. I think that he gives me Troy Fotanu vibes in the way of just the easiness. A guy who was playing tackle, just flexible, glides up the field, can get to the second level easy, is somebody who's going to shine when he's called upon to pull, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The one thing, and I see the ceiling, and I see where he can flourish, and I understand that you want him at guard, but I almost do at times wonder a little bit if he could be a good right tackle in the NFL. But what bothers me, especially if Fotanu is supposed to be playing right tackle for the Steelers, apparently that was when we talked about post-draft. But one thing that doesn't bother me to the point where I don't think that he won't succeed because of this, But right. I wasn't necessarily in love with him as much as you are, because I think at times he lacks a little bit of pop in his hands. Like I feel like in pass protection, he's never really going to kill someone on a rep. Like he's really never going to just really finish someone off and take them out of a play. He's so fluid and mobile. He's going to keep everybody in front of him, and he's going to, you know, use good footwork and good mobility to get to, get to the next level, as I'm talking about here. But not having that just drive, that really gnarly aggressiveness that comes out of his hands and sometimes in his legs, it concerns me just a hair on his projection, and why I kind of like a few other guys ahead of him.
Just such a bad take, man. Just like
it's not a terrible take.
Look, this is going to be one guy that we just see a little, which is funny because we were talking about before the show as far as what you graded him, and you actually have a pretty high grade on him, which I was kind of surprised based upon our general conversation. But Joe, I just don't think that they may, and it's just my opinion based upon experience, I just don't think they make kids that move as well as he does at the size that he is. I mean, you mentioned something, right? 6'5" listed. He's probably more in the 6'4.5" range, but like either way, he's tall. He's a taller kid. 330 pounds should not look like that, man. Like he looks like a bouncer. Like he is just a physically, like he's a bull, dude. He's an absolute bull. Like you just don't, I just don't see bad weight on that frame, dude. He is just a massively big kid. And a lot of Samoans are just kind of like that, man. Like they're just kind of built that way where you're just like, he's just a stocky, physically imposing dude. But then he moves so well, which is why I think that they've been playing him at right tackle this past year. I think they said that kid just moves too well to put him in a guard. And I get that, right? I get it. But on the next level, I think that you're going to be able to unlock something at guard, dude. Like I agree with you in the fact, I do think that there's a world where he could play tackle in the NFL. I do think that there is. I do.
Yeah.
I think he has requisite athleticism and flexibility and foot quickness that he could play offensive tackle at the next level. I don't think he has great length, though. That's one thing I wrote down. I think it's solid. I don't think it's good length, though. I think it's solid. And I just think that he's not comfortable playing in reverse right now. Could he improve off of another full offseason of playing tackle? Sure, it could happen, right? But the best parts of him, in my opinion, are when he works laterally or to the second level, dude. It is a beaut to watch. It really is. This kid, it just moves uncommonly good for a player his size. And he is a bull. Like when he gets his hands inside of you, he has great latch strength. Like I have seen him. It was one play I highlighted on Twitter. I forget what team it was playing against, but he was working backside on outside zone where he got his hands inside, just washed the dude, like completely out of the play on the front side of the play, because he just has so much lower body explosiveness based upon his athleticism. So I agree. And I think the one thing we agree on with him is that I do think that he needs to be more aggressive as a blocker at times.
Yes.
I do, because I actually think that the power profile is there. I have seen it in spurts, and I think he's an excellent athlete. I'm telling you right now, this kid is a Pro Bowl offensive guard in the NFL if he is able to take that step, because I think it's all there. I don't really see physically, athletically, what he's missing. What is he missing athletically? Like I just think it's all there for projection.
I think that where you and I differ in our thoughts on him, we're on the same page with the athleticism. Like that's why my grade for him is so good. But at the same time, and this is seemingly always the way that things turn out when we talk about guys, is that I want to bring up the negative. Like I want to nitpick guys because I think it's something that's not done often. It's really not. And it's also not done effectively. The people that are negative about players are assholes about it, or they just don't know how to do it and have in a coherent conversation. I think, though, that what you're saying with the power,
yep,
I see it just being good enough. You know, it's good enough where he's not going to necessarily, he's not going to get blown off the ball. He's not getting his ass kicked. Sure. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't see any displacement. That is something that I always get really caught up in and that I love in linemen. This is why I liked J.C. Latham as much as I did. It's why I like Tyler Booker as much as I do. It's why I like Tate Ratledge as much as I do, which will be revealed when we do our guard ranking show. Displacement means everything. And even at defensive tackle, the games I watched him, the two games I watched him, there was no displacement. You know, there was no like, oh my God, it was a lot of me watching him going, wow, he can move. And not a lot of, wow, he just knocked that dude like way off the ball. He really just popped that guy. He really just took this defensive end out of the play who was coming for his chest, and he completely knocked him off of his track. Like, I just didn't get any of that.
Can I ask you one question just for the context part of it? Okay. Cause one, I think you're, this is me making fun of you for a second. Okay. Your bias is SEC it. Offensive lineman. That's what it is. Big you body stink. Brutes. I'm just you kidding. Stink. Honestly. No, but here's the actual question. Here's the actual question. How much do you blame that on Arizona's style of offense? Serious question.
That's fair. They did kind of have that quick trigger, get the ball out type of an offense.
They're heavy outside zone ish team. They run inside zone too, of course, but like they run a lot of lateral stuff where if we're talking about vertical exertion and being able to work off the line of scrimmage consistently, it's not a ton of that, man. Like there's really not, right? So I would be very interested. You know, it would be fun if I could drop Jonas Sevenaia onto the University of Georgia next year or to the University of Alabama.
I mean, that could have happened. He just needed to enter the transfer portal and we could be talking about him and Kate Ratledge playing across from one another.
I'm sure that those conversations were had. Yes.
He should be at Washington right now. He really should be.
Yeah, but like, would that have fixed anything of what I'm talking about? It would have been the same style of offense. Like, my point was is that I would like to see more of one inside zone heavy stuff, and then two, if there was any gap scheme stuff where we could really get, again, just work the point of attack vertically instead of laterally. Like, I would love to see that type of stuff. I just don't know if we're going to see that. I don't know enough about Brett Brennan. Is that the new coach at Arizona, right?
Yeah, they were really mediocre at San Jose State.
I don't know what his offense schematically is, right? Like, I don't know what he believes in from a run game perspective. I have no idea.
Grade I have on him as of right now. I have a early second on him.
That's fair.
I would say I think he's going to end up going in the first, but right now I've got an early second on him. He's a little bit behind Booker and Tate Ratledge. Actually, I think when we do these rankings, Sevenaia might be number four for me. He might be behind Emory Jones. Yeah, he might be behind Emory Jones.
I forgot you had Emory Jones listed as a interior offensive lineman. Some people are going to hate that. They're going to hate that, I think. But
yeah, Corey, get it right.
Some people are going to hate it. I have a late first round grade on Jonas Sevenaia. When I say a late first round grade, I literally mean that. The lowest possible grade of a first round a player that can have. So for some context, that's a late first, early second type of designation, but I do have the first round tag on him right now because, again, summer scouting, we're grading against the curve a little bit, right? Because we have a full season in front of us. So there's going to be a fluid conversation. Guys are going to get better. Guys are going to get worse. That's how this time of year works. I'm just buying into the upside, man. When I watched him, I was enamored with how athletic he was for his size. So maybe he figures it out. I look like a genius. Maybe he doesn't figure it out and he's just a top 75 kid instead of a first round kid. But regardless, that kid's an NFL offensive lineman. I think he has massive upside.
We'll see what happens at Joe DeLeon, at Rise and Draft. Hit the subscribe.